Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now save $30 on the American-made Steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real Steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details. Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Good morning. It is time to skip the BS. It's time for Undisputed. It's time to get way into the launch of this year's NBA playoffs with Paul Pierce and Keyshawn Johnson and me. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you? All right. So we just had 8 game ones, all won by the home team for the first time since 2013. None of them close until the last one. That was last night's Thunder surviving as CJ McCollum missed 3 at the buzzer. We will get to that in moments. And we'll also get to 3 big surprises. Clippers over Mavs, Bucks over Pacers, Knicks over Sixers. But first up, Lakers Nuggets. Saturday night and again tonight in Denver. I'm going to bite my tongue for a minute on what happened in the fourth quarter of Saturday night's game one. Come on, King. And I know for a fact that lifelong Laker fan Keyshawn Johnson has a whole bunch of angry thoughts because I saw him via text on Saturday night after the game. But I'm going to let Paul Pierce tip us off. So, Paul, you said game one was going to be a convincing Denver win. What was your biggest takeaway from what you saw?
I thought the Lakers got thoroughly dominated, especially from the point on when the Lakers was up 12, Denver called a timeout. When they came out of the timeout, Denver went on a 10-0 run, and from that point,
they did.
It just took the momentum. It took the air out of the Lakers. From that point on, they could not recover. LeBron gave you everything he could in the first half. I think he had no energy in the second half.
Wait, are we already going with the he ran out of gas?
He ran out of gas again.
Wait, it's just
he
game
ran
one.
Out of gas again.
It's the first game.
It's not the conference finals.
It's not game four of the conference.
This is where Key was like, oh, we get him in the fresh first round, fresh legs. But I thought he just gave you so much energy in the first half that the second half, he needs his role players to step up. But when I look at these, this is what was so glaring to me, Skip. The Lakers had 79 field goal attempts to Denver's 102 field goal attempts. That's 23 more shots at
lot.
The rim.
Yeah.
Now, if you get 23 more shots at the rim, that's a recipe for disaster. So that's telling me that they're turning the Lakers over. They're getting second opportunities on the offensive rebounds.
Yep.
There's no way you can win a game by having you go into a game and say, all right, you're going to get 102 shots to our 79. Who's going to win? Every time. And then I look up, Joker's going to be Joker. I expect that. Murray is going to be a Murray. I expect that. But when the combination of D'Lo and Dinwiddie play 44 minutes and give you 13 points combined, 5 rebounds and 4 assists compared to Murray's 22, 6, and 10, that's still another recipe for disaster. So I believe the combination of their two, I'm not asking D'Lo to cancel out Murray, but the combination of both of them should be able to get that job done. And then let's talk about the Gru, the Joker. Yeah, I expect them to get 32, 12, and 7, or whatever his numbers were.
That was his numbers.
But he had 4 dunks, Skip.
Mm.
You know how many dunks he averages on the on the season per
none.
Game?
None. How about none?
0.3.
Okay.
0.3 dunks. He had 4 dunks on the Lakers. So I'm not sure what the Lakers can clean up, but the most glaring thing was the 102 field goal attempts to 79. If you go into a game and you give a team 22 more shots than you, you're going to lose the game.
Mm. Okay.
Sad and more sad. Well, look, first of all, it wasn't as convincing as as you would think. People look at the score and go, oh, the Lakers got ran out the building. That really wasn't the case. They were up by 3 at halftime. Okay? Let's start there. LeBron James played well in the first half. He didn't play well in the second half. He only had 8 points in the second half. And then in the fourth quarter, you obviously know what happened there. When you look at, and Paul, we talked about this last week, you talk about what the Joker was able to do. You cancel that right out. AD did the same exact thing as the Joker across the entire stat line. One here, one there, plus or minus on certain things.
He canceled them out.
That's
what you want from AD, though.
He did. He dunked.
Right.
He got a lob. He got a lob. Cancel it out. Now you start saying, well, what about Jamal Murray? Well, Jamal Murray didn't play that great. But even with LeBron's first half and lack of second half, you can just take that, clean that on up with Murray. You just clean that right on up with Murray. You cancel that out.
So LeBron canceled out Murray.
Yeah, so you cancel that out. So both of them canceled out.
Mm-hmm.
Now when you start to get to certain things, now the third guy in line is Rui. You say, well, Rui only had 4 shots. Okay, I'll take that. And the reason I'll take that is because he was the primary defender most of the time. So a lot of that energy in them 30-plus minutes was spent on trying to defend the Joker. Because at the end, I'm sure Darvin Ham said, I just need you to play defense. I need you to just push him around, beat him up as much as you can till we get some help. Let's try that. Okay, so he didn't get the touches. He only had 4. And that's okay. Now you start to talk about the other 3 guys. You start talking about guys that got significant minutes.
Yeah.
Starting with D'Angelo. Okay? Here's a guy that couldn't wait to get in here. He was 6 from 20 from the field. 1 of 9 from 3.
Mm.
Okay? As I said to you, throughout the course of the season, Skip, as you tried to tell me, he has all-star offensive talent.
He does.
Can't argue with that at times.
It's that guy we saw by himself score 44 against the Bucks.
Yeah. 44 against Milwaukee, then 1 of 7 the next game.
I got you.
So this is where this is falling in line at now.
Yep.
Now all of a sudden, he was hot against the Pelicans. He was cooking. And now we get this again. It's almost like I don't understand. Is it Denver's uniform? Is it the way the players look? Is it the environment? Like, what is it that makes him all of a sudden shrink to the point where King James is side-eyeing him every time he touched the ball? When he shoot, you just look at some of the footage. LeBron head drops to the ground. So it was just like, man, I don't even want to talk to you. So now you start there. Then you go into Austin Reeves that tried. I mean, he missed some shots, but he still was out there cooking. I don't believe he got enough opportunities.
I agree.
I don't think he got enough, you know, but need a little bit more out of him. Now when you get to the bench in Dinwiddie, you don't get anything out of that. Give me them minutes back, man. Give me them 13 minutes back. If you're going to play like that for them 13 minutes, we can get them 13 minutes to somebody else.
That's true.
That's one of the biggest problems. They was in it. They was, even with LeBron's lack of playing in the fourth quarter and attempting field goals and going to the corner and just standing over there, they still was in it. They just, for whatever reason, the third quarter got them. And the third quarter got them once LeBron.
The end of the second and the third quarter, it was over.
Remember, KCP hit 4 threes in the third quarter. Right. It's hard to overcome that, man.
And it's almost like they're scared to run out to the three-point line because Joker's in the paint. It was weird because if Joker's standing in the paint, they never wanted to leave to run out to the three-point line to defend, Skip. Now, I'm not a coach, an NBA coach, but damn.
Come on.
Like, run out there, do something. Don't just stand there and let a guy shoot the ball. And that's what got us. But I think tonight will be a different game. Now, I said I just want 1 of 1. Give me either the first game or the second game.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I can't get either one, then it's going to be
Well, now the operative word was the word you used Thursday and Friday, steal. Because you're going to have to steal this one.
Just steal it.
Yeah. All right, to your point, I'm going to start with this about the three-point shots. Remember, Denver took the fewest three-point shots in the league compared to your Boston Celtics, who once again yesterday we just went three-point crazy. As long as they're falling, you're good, right?
Right.
Okay, you're going to win it all. If you can keep making like 30 a game, you're going to win it all. All of a sudden, on Saturday night, the Denver Nuggets hoisted up 42 three-point shots because their scouting reports are showing them the Lakers don't defend the three. They haven't all year, and I don't know why. It's just a mindset of, are you going to get out and close out and get hands in face or not? But they don't. They were 25th in allowing three-pointers made this year. And here we go again, and it's not like Denver shot the lights out, but if you put up 42 and then you make 15, you won the three-point line by 7 times 3 is 21 points. Well, it's hard to overcome that. Yeah. I don't care what you say. The math on that is hard to overcome. All right, now to Keyshawn's point. This was not a wipeout. This was not a complete and utter blowout. This game was not without some hope for the Lakers going into game 2 because LeBron came back in the game with 9 minutes left. And it felt pretty hopeless at that point. So to his credit, he did quickly take a shot and get fouled by Christian Brown. And he went to the free throw line. And to his credit, he made 2 free throws. From that point on, to Keyshawn's point, LeBron James was just lifeless in the fourth quarter, and I don't know exactly why. I can give you several theories on it, but he was lifeless. And he did disappear, and if you want to give him the tired legs already in game 1.
But I'm not going to give him that, though, Paul. The reason I'm not going to give him that because he wasn't even trying to shoot.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't. If you'd have told me LeBron tried to blow past Murray and missed the shot, but it was almost like he said, y'all do it. Go ahead. I want y'all to do it.
Y'all do it.
Y'all do it. Said. Yeah. Y'all do it.
All right. So I know a lot of people say, oh, you're nitpicking LeBron. No, I'm boulder picking now because this is the greatest score in the history of professional basketball, right? And here we go. From the 9-minute mark after the 2 free throws, he looks like he does not want to participate to the point where I just said, well, just go sit down then. If you don't want to play, go sit down.
It kind of felt that way. It kind of felt like he was mad at D'Lo. No, he wasn't. Okay. I swear he wasn't tired.
Okay, just remember, well, he can't be tired.
If you take one shot in a meaningless layup,
I'm telling you, he wasn't tired.
He exuberated so much energy in the first half. He had nothing left in the fourth.
No, the first half. He got halftime to rest up. He rested up in the third quarter. Man, he rested some of the fourth.
That was mentally and physically drained.
He
gave so much to pushing that lead to 10 points in the first half to where when they erased that lead and he hit the 3, that's all he had left.
If this were the second round or the third round or certainly the fourth, I would give you this. But not in game 1 at Denver against a team that had beaten you 8 straight times.
Man, I'm telling you, he wasn't tired. I'm a germ spread real quick. I'm telling you, he wasn't fooling with D'Lo. I'm telling you,
Let me defend D'Lo. To D'Lo's credit, he shot 6 for 20, but he's the only one in the starting lineup that was a +2.
That's true.
Okay. He was a +2. With him in the game, they're winning. They're winning. Okay. So what are we going to say about that?
All right, you got it. Now, let's go back to LeBron. What happened last year in the 4 fourth quarters? I'm not beating a dead horse here, but I have to bring it up because it was germane to what happened in the fourth quarter the other night. It was pertinent because it came back to life that in those 4 fourth quarters against Denver in the sweep last year, he combined to go 7 of 23 and 1 of 10 from 3. Mm-hmm. It looked like his body language was, okay, If everybody's going to criticize me for the fourth quarter, let's see what happens if I let them do it. Mm-hmm. Let's see what D'Lo can do. And he kept feeding the coldest hand on his team. Mm-hmm. And D'Lo's like, seriously? His body language was, you really want me to shoot this? And it came down to a shot that he had for to cut it to 4. It's a D'Lo shot with 4:20 left. And we could see this. It's a 7-point game. And if you make this, it's a 4-point game. So don't tell me it was a complete and utter blowout. If we could see the shot that LeBron feeds back to D'Lo, and D'Lo says, okay, I guess I have to do this. And LeBron's just watching. And listen, if he makes that shot, I don't know, it's going to get real interesting from that point forward. Okay, so now I'm going to show you a sequence that happened at 5:55 and 5:49 in which the Nuggets got 2 straight offensive rebounds, and it looks like LeBron is just standing watching the game around him, and it drove me crazy.
Because
come on, LeBron, just play. Here's the first shot, LeBron, get basketball.
No legs right there.
Okay. No legs.
No
they
legs.
Get it right back. Okay, they get it right back.
Couldn't step up right here. Look, pushed on.
Oh, that's the AD block. All okay, right, yeah.
AD hooked him, though.
When I look at those plays, he looked tired to me. He didn't go for the rebound. And then the other play, when D'Lo took the jumper at the top of the key off the pick and roll, LeBron's in the corner.
Yeah, he's sitting in the corner.
He's tired, because usually wouldn't LeBron be handling the ball in those situations?
Yeah.
He would be at the top with the ball. He's tired.
You know more than I know about this, right? I'm just looking at him. I'm looking at him, and I'm watching his body language and his eyes, and it's almost like he's saying, it's almost like they told him to let the other dudes score or something, and he was like, at some point, he was like, seriously? Because even in the game, I don't know if you saw this in the game or not. Early in the game, something occurred on the sideline on the bench where AD had left the game. And something happened where AD wound up leaving the game, and LeBron and the coaches and AD and the coaches was going back and forward. And you could see it on his face. You could see it on his face where he was like, nah, because I think they was taking AD out the game and he didn't want AD to leave the game. I'm just assuming that's what happened. But you can tell in his body language in that fourth quarter, they must have told him to let them dudes cook, and he wasn't having it. He just like, all right, y'all do it then.
4 minutes to go in the second quarter.
But when have you ever seen
him? The air came right out of them. They felt good. They were moving the ball, extra passes, threes, layup. AD was dominant. They went up 12 points. You remember this, right? They were up 12. This is the best
they played.
They
were up 12, and I went to lay my daughter down and came back. So what the hell happened?
When you give up a 12-point lead on the road that quick, it happened so fast. 10-0 run right away by the champs. Three. Then I believe it was maybe a couple free throws and then another layup or something. At that point on, LeBron came and heaved up the three down at the end of the second quarter. That was all that was left in the Lakers' life. Mm-hmm. It was just like we gave up the 12-point lead. We had them on the ropes. We could have went up to about 15 points. Should have been up double figures at the half. But to be only up three was disappointing in that locker room at halftime. Mm. And they never recovered from that.
Paul Pierce, I'm so disappointed in you. You of all people.
Just saying.
You're giving LeBron James the ran out of gas excuse in game one?
I don't think he ran out of gas, though, Paul. Because LeBron, even if he was out of gas, when have you ever seen him not take shots?
When he gets 7 turnovers and take 1 shot attempt. I don't know what else it can be. I mean,
I'm telling you, that body language telling me something different, man. I wish I knew.
What else could it be in an important game? You want to steal game one. That's the emphasis.
He's either pouting or he's just afraid to shoot.
I don't think it was the afraid to shoot part. I think it was just more that he wanted to see them do it, or somebody wanted to see them other dudes get going, and before you know it, it was too late.
He understands what's on the line. And LeBron understands.
So why is he going to shoot at the end of the game?
This is the solution. The Lakers and Coach Ham have to figure out a better way to get him more rest so he has something down the stretch. And I said this a couple weeks ago, that you want LeBron to be strong for the last 7 minutes of the game to where he can give you everything he's got. And it just looked like he wasn't running a break. He wasn't going to the offensive rebound. He was turning the ball over. He wasn't even taking shots. Mm-hmm. So what else? How can you explain it that other than not
when
having the legs
ever
that he needed, because he gave you so much in the first half. He was efficient. He's 10 for 16.
Paul,
why does he take more shots? He has already what do you have at the half? 20 points at the half? Ends with
19
at the half. Mm-hmm. On 10 of 16 for the game, why isn't he taking more shots? Because his legs aren't there.
But, Paul, when have you in 21 years, when have you ever seen LeBron tired or not?
I seen him tired in Denver last year.
And he was taking shots.
I see him tired again this year.
But that altitude
is no joke, Skip. Players fly to Denver just to work out in the summer, just to get in shape.
I get all of that. But he was taking shots last year, in the year before, in the year before, in the year before that, in the year. He's never in the fourth quarter.
He's a year older now. He's 30. I think we forget.
You think because 9 months done passed since the last time they played Denver in Denver, or whatever it's been, 10 months or whatever the case is, that all of a sudden that age they're calling to him in the fourth quarter where he's not taking any shots at all? We're not talking we're not talking about a guy who's scared to shoot the basketball. We just trying to figure out why he didn't shoot the basketball. Because he's not afraid.
No legs. This is going to affect, and that's why I said the Lakers right now, if they lose this next game, it's over.
So,
if we lose, I'll tell you.
The turnovers result from no legs. Let's see those two turnovers if we have them, please. The first one, to me, was just careless. It didn't have anything to do with
being seven
tired.
Turnovers last night.
Seven,
that wasn't
that's
cool.
That's uncharacteristic.
Here's the first turn. Whoops. That's a bad idea.
Joker. Hold on. Look. How does Joker outrun LeBron right here?
Come on.
If he's not tired?
Chase him down.
It was a good move by the Joker.
How does LeBron?
No.
If LeBron didn't
LeBron's trying to, he's trying to play.
That's a chase down block for LeBron. Come on, you can't tell me this is not a chase down block.
This is an easy block.
That's tire legs right there to me.
Y'all got a bad angle.
This is tire legs right here. Look, this is the Joker.
You do realize once he got to the free throw line, the Joker was looking behind him, making it look like he was going to pass it.
Joker is probably the slowest big in the league.
He is.
And he can't catch up to him. He can't jump a lick.
Okay.
He can't jump over the iPhone.
He can't.
Like, come on.
Come on, LeBron.
Like, get up here LeBron. And this.
Man, on. LeBron was gauging two players. Man, y'all need to stop, man. The Joker was looking behind. He was dribbling, looking like he was getting ready to pass him behind him.
No, he was.
He did. They showed a better shot of it during the game.
Look, right here. They started the same play. He just beats him to the rim.
The poor old man is tired.
He was tired, Key.
Yeah, come on.
Can we see the other turnover at the end of the game, please?
He was tired.
Because this was pathetic to me. This is just pathetic. Like, what are you doing?
Tired.
What
are you doing? Ball down.
Stays down like he got hurt.
Heard his elbow is funny bone, man.
Oh, I hit my funny bone.
Tired right here, man. I'm telling you.
I'm going to fall down because I don't want to really take this shot, so I'll just fall down and act like I got hurt.
You see what I'm saying now?
Yeah, way to go, LeBron.
Man, this is dead legs right here.
So he takes his first real shot after the two free throw shots.
Dead legs right there, Skip. I know a dead leg.
Put back that he can't
look
back.
Them his legs was
good. It's hard for me to defend any of that.
Yeah.
I'm trying my best.
Yeah, no
so, Paul,
legs.
I hate to do this because we always put LeBron in the same sentence with Kobe and Jordan. Uh-huh. Can you imagine Kobe or Jordan responding like that in the fourth quarter when the game gets close? I mean, can you fathom that happening? I don't care how old they were.
That's a different mentality.
Yeah.
That's a way different mentality.
Thank you.
You know, he had more of a Magic Johnson. LeBron does.
Yeah.
You know, he's a pass first, but can score just as good as these guys. But where Kobe's just, he going to shoot until the sun go down.
I mean. Thank you. All right. Well,
I think in that situation, though.
He was tired.
No, I'm saying that situation. Magic wasn't a shooter or a scorer like LeBron.
Hey.
LeBron is closer to Kobe and Jordan as far as scoring goes. I would have liked to see him take over the last 5 minutes of the game.
Thank you.
Tell everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey.
Man, that's what you expect.
I'll be honest with you. I just want you to.
That's what you expect.
That's what I would expect for him.
Thank you. There was one tiny silver lining for me at the end of the game, because if we could show LeBron's one shot that he did make in the fourth quarter, which is basically an uncontested layup.
Dude, man.
Yeah.
Near the buzzer. If we could show that real quick, please. Here, we'll just let you have this little uncontested up and under layup. Would you believe that won me a dinner from Paul Pierce? That won me a dinner.
I shouldn't even count.
Paul Pierce gave me 12.
I looked at that when he made that. I was like,
that's it. Thank you, LeBron. That was for me. He said, I got to save Skip.
Why are they even in the damn game?
I got to save Skip.
I
owe you.
I had the Lakers losing by only 12.
But they should go in the towel at this point. It's over. You're not coming back.
LeBron helped you out right there.
Ah,
I was thinking that.
Keyshawn still owes me 2 or 3, but that's okay. He bought me a lunch.
They went by 12 tonight. I tell you that.
Yeah. Oh, you got another 12.
Yeah, I got another 10.
You know what? I'll save my thoughts on that until we revise. Oh, wait, you just revised. You said 12, and then you said, wait a second.
They winning by an average of 10 on the Lakers, so I'm going to go with their average.
Are you?
Man, I thought I was cooking, though, that first half.
I
was thinking about y'all. I was smiling.
When they were up 12, I'm thinking, I'm up 24 at this point, and I didn't think there was any way, and it still went to the buzzer.
10-0 run. Yeah.
Lakers, man.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, save $30 on the American-made steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details. Bomb back down.
What a weird game Damian Lillard played yesterday without Giannis in a home game one against the Pacers, who were favored by a point and a half. Dame scored 35 in 19 minutes in the first half. Then he went LeBron. He scored zero in 19 minutes in the second half. What?
Well, you.
I had to. I'm sorry. Okay, but the Bucks did hang on to win 109-94. So, Paul, happened in this one?
Man, originally I had the Pacers winning this game.
Yeah.
Then I forgot, you know, because Milwaukee didn't have Antetokounmpo, you just thought initially it'll be tough on them, especially with the way the Pacers been playing. They've been scoring, running up the scoreboard. And then I forgot that Dame is used to carrying a team by himself. You know, if he got enough good pieces around him, you know, a second guy in Middleton and obviously Portis and Brooke Lopez, and I was just like, he's done this before. You know, and then I'm looking at Indiana. I'm running like, how do they lead the league in scoring? Like, they don't have, like, just that score that you're saying that just can get buckets. I mean, Siakam gave you 30-plus, but he's not looked at like a guy who's just like a Dame or Luka Doncic or one of the top scorers
in the
league.
Well, we thought Halliburton was arriving, at least, right?
Yeah, Halliburton is a pass-first guard, and I don't know what happened to him yesterday because
he just kept passing and passing.
He only took seven shots.
Yeah.
You know, made four of them. So yep. I'm just like, how do they score so much? I guess because of pace of play.
Yeah.
But you can't count out when the best player on the court is on your side, which is Milwaukee. When you look at the 10 guys who walk out there to start the game, you have the best player on your side. You got to like your chances, and that's Dave Lillard. Now, it was mind-boggling to
break it down. They might have the best two players on their side.
Well, you got to say, if you take and look at Middleton, when he's healthy.
You're saying Middleton.
Middleton might be the second best player on the floor behind Dame.
Yeah. Okay.
It's arguable. I mean, you could say Siakam, Halliburton is the second best player on the court when you put the 10 guys out there. But it was just mind-boggling because I've never seen this in my life, a player who has 35 in the first half, or even say 20 points, go scoreless in the second half.
By the way, it's never happened in the era since 96, 97 when they kept the play-by-play stats. So no one's ever done that. Go 35 and then not get hurt. He played 19 minutes in the second half and scored zero.
I thought he was about to go for 60. Yeah. I'm looking like Dame about to. It's Dame time. It was truly Dame time. I thought he was going to go for 60. But when he had zero second half, I'm glad they won. Because he would have took a whole lot of heat. They didn't win that going 35-0. That's about as hot as you could be to about as that's.
We only took five shots in the second half though.
But still, that's about as extreme as it gets.
No, but they was up. So I don't know. I look at things like when you up, sometimes you change your game plan because you become cautious. Now all of a sudden you play not to lose. You know, and instead of just saying to yourself, okay, I'm going to keep my foot on the pedal, and maybe that instruction coming from your old head coach has said, let's do it this way because when we've done it the other way against Indy, they've had our number for the entire season. Now, Dame scoring 35-19 in the first quarter and then 35 in the first half, like you said, Paul, like I was telling you, he's done this before. This is this is probably a better six deep for him right now that he's ever had in Portland when he was carrying the load by himself.
Yeah.
And I say six deep, I'm talking about the five starters plus who's ever coming off the bench, minus Giannis is probably the best.
I don't know. LaMarcus Aldridge and CJ, I don't know. That's some firepower.
The problem I have.
Yeah, but Giannis, Bill, yeah.
The problem
you're
I have
right.
with this key is, you know, the way Dame was without Giannis, I need him to be this way. If they have a chance at winning it all, he needs to be this way with Giannis. And it just seems like when Giannis is out there, he kind of steps to the side or steps to the back, and I don't know if that's rightfully so. He should do that, or what should he do? But this is the version of Dame in the first half that they need if Giannis is going to come back, if they're going to win a championship. But for some reason, this is not the version that we get because we know he's capable of it. And if they want to win a championship and they want to be consistent throughout the playoffs, this is the version of Dame that they need. That they got last night.
See, I feel,
when Giannis comes back, though, also, they need him like this.
But I feel like, Skip, going through what he was going through when he got traded from Portland to Milwaukee, trying to figure it all out, right? Mm-hmm. Figure out, how do I play with Giannis? This isn't the summer. This is not pickup. But how do I construct the play with Giannis and Middleton and Lopez and Pat Bev and everybody? And I got a lot of stuff going on in my mind. I feel like now he knows this is the playoffs, essentially one-and-done series type situations. Everything else I got to put in the back until this is over with. That's how I would think that he is approaching
okay.
it right now, saying to himself, yeah, I love Portland and my family and my kids and stuff, but I'm in the playoffs right now. I got to kind of put a wall up and just focus in on this.
Okay. Just remember his mentality. The Dame I have closely observed all these many years was an underdog coming out of Oakland when he went away to college, and he was an underdog when he got drafted. Nobody saw it coming. Nobody gave him much of a shot. And he's always at his best when he's the hopeless underdog. He's yeah. always at his best when he's that big fish in the empty pond like he was in Portland. He's always at his best when expectations are lower or at their least. Yeah. And yesterday, the expectations were all on Indiana to win that game as the betting favorite without Giannis. Mm-hmm. So here we went, and he was in the perfect place at the perfect time. Plus, without Giannis on the floor, they can push it and sort of offset the pace of the game because they can just out-push the Pacers because they don't have to wait for Giannis to get down court to set up their half-court offense. Dame was just jacking it up. You know, when I feel like shooting it, I'm going to shoot it. Mm-hmm. And I do love what Pat Bev has brought to this team because he's starting to play pure point guard because he led them with 8 assists. Look, for the whole game, Dame had 3 assists. He had 1 assist in the second half. So he lit it up in the first half. And then all of a sudden, the game starts getting a little closer, and he started playing more cautiously and conservatively, like, we got this. Let's just try to get it home. I don't need to jack up shots. Yeah, they played not to lose.
Yes.
And his second half is, like, shockingly, it's just like it's a non-half for him, like 0 for 5 with 1 assist. Damian Lillard, are you kidding me? But he was not called upon because it did get down to 12 at one point. And then Chris Middleton made a couple of shots, and I don't care what you say. Through their glory run, through their finals run, Chris Middleton has always been the closer for this team because he's got big guts.
That's why I don't understand how people always act like he's just a guy.
No,
I'm like,
he is
dude,
not
be
a guy.
I mean, he
just been hurt. He'd be hurt a lot, but he'd be balling when he out there.
Yep.
Well, they need him to be that. If they want a shot at the title, they need Middleton to be that guy because we haven't seen that since his injuries have put him in and out of the lineup. Inconsistencies on offense. They need the 20-point score Middleton is for them to advance. Like, this version of Dame and this version of Middleton, they need these two guys like that when Giannis comes back. They can't have any drop off their production when Giannis comes back. Because I just feel like when he's out there, Giannis is a heavy ball usage player, though.
He is.
So it takes away from these guys being productive.
Yep.
And so, but they have to say, look, when he comes back, if he's able to make it throughout this run, if, say, Milwaukee advances or this series with Indiana goes to 7 and he's able to come back in a week or so, depending on how the calf injury is, they're going to have to say, this is the version of these two or three guys that they need.
I know
make a championship run.
I know you got a little crack in your voice a little bit when you keep mentioning Giannis coming back and Dame and Middleton playing this way because I think you a little afraid that based on what you saw from Milwaukee without Giannis and based on what you saw Philadelphia when Embiid got hurt, you might be a little nervous there, about what's going on up in the East.
Thought when the trade happened with Dame, I thought potential. Everybody thought it was just Celtics and Milwaukee right here. But then as Milwaukee started to show themselves, they really showed that they was a tier below Celtics.
They are.
But they're capable of being at the same tier as the Celtics, I'm saying, with Giannis, because of the talent that they got, but they just haven't showed it on a consistent basis throughout the season. Because since Doc has taken over, they've been a below 500 team. I believe they're 16-17 in the regular season, but let's say teetering around 500 after their win.
Trying to figure it out.
Yeah, they're trying to figure it out, but they had it figured out at the beginning. So,
okay, I hate to say this about most of these playoff games, but they're three-point shooting contests. And I just look, the first thing I look at are the box score. It's just like, who won from three? Well, if the Pacers are going to shoot 8 for 38, that's 21%, they are going to lose. If they make 7 more of those, if they go 15 of 38, trust me, we're having a different conversation, because it just boils down to that. Dame made 6 threes in the first half. You're going to get slaughtered, and that's what happened. But I'm going to remind you, Indiana beat them 4 out of 5 times and beat their butts badly. Mm-hmm. Just kicked them 4 out of 5 times.
They didn't do that yesterday.
Okay, they did not do it, but the ball wouldn't fall. 8 out of 38, and they're looking at each other like, Tyrese, what are you doing? And he's looking at Miles Turner and Nesmith like, what are you guys doing?
This is Halliburton's first playoff game, right?
It is,
yeah. So, you know how it is as a young player. You don't understand the type of playoff intensity that's needed. It's like you come out, you get the reporters at practice, and you go through your scout report, but then until you actually get into the game to realize, oh, playoff basketball is a little different than regular season. It's a whole nother different intensity. Oh, these calls that I got during the regular season, I'm not getting these no more. Yep. You know, these passes I got through in the regular season, oh, that's not there no more. So I think after game one, he saw what it was, and he's going to get acclimated to what he needs to do better, because he didn't shoot the ball that bad.
He just didn't shoot it. And by the way, little T.J. McConnell came in the second half and spark plugged him.
Yeah, so T.J. understands what playoffs basketball is about.
He knows.
And so does Siakam. Has a championship. That's why you look at his numbers and what he brought. But Tyler is the head of the snake.
Yeah.
And they need him to play well. So hopefully that he got one game under his belt. He understands just the mindset you got to have in a playoff situation, and he'll be better. And I truly believe that he's going to be better. He was overwhelmed. Dame came out and just slapped him in the face, and he didn't know what to do. I mean, he got slaughtered in the first half. Dame is just knocking down shots, and he's like, wow, okay.
Wow.
As a young player, you like, you know, he probably idolized Dame at some point. He's been in the league so long.
He idolized LeBron James, too.
Yeah.
In the tournament game.
And so now I think he's going to come out next game. He's going to settle down and be like, all right, take a deep breath. All right, now.
But he on the road.
But it's reality now. It's reality. You're actually in it. And I know that he's going to be better next game.
So the weird stat of the day was that Dame goes 35 in the first half and winds up on -6. Well, that's impossible. Let it happen. But they won, so all is well, right? Yeah. Here we go on to game 2. I'm not writing off the Pacers on this one.
Oh, man.
Their coach is too good. They'll be ready.
And don't talk about D'Lo. He was a +2.
+2.
He was 6 for 20, +2.
+2.
Watch LeBron look at him every time he missed a shot.
He was a +2.
And then if you really want to break it down, LeBron, look at how many times he missed
D-Lo,
a shot.
If I'm D'Lo, I'm like, LeBron, you -9, LeBron.
So
I'm a +2.
Keyshawn, am I right that the GOAT needs a scapegoat?
No, he didn't shoot it in the fourth quarter, man. I don't know what it was.
No.
I got to call him and ask him, say, man, what was you doing, LeBron?
Yeah. You should call him today and say, what are you doing? Hey. Okay.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Man, the T-Wolves made a statement against the Suns in game 1. Destroying the Suns on the boards 52-28, winning the game by 25, as Anthony Edwards was easily the best player on the floor. That did include the Suns' big three of KD, Book, and Beal. So, Keyshawn, you've loved the Suns since the season began. Oof. Scale of 1 to 10. How concerned are you about a Minnesota now favored by 3 in game 2?
I'm not overly concerned. I would probably say that I'm probably at a 6.
Yep.
when you look at it, I think it goes to seven. I think these guys get it turned around. And, you know, they may go back. They may go down 2-0. They may go down 2-0 and have to head back to Phoenix and even the score. But I think it goes seven. One thing that you mentioned in all of this is Anthony Edwards. They've got, you know, you've got to figure out how to make him uncomfortable. Because in all, as far as, like, Paul likes to talk about canceling people out, if you take Anthony Edwards and you take KD and just cancel that right on out. Now, what about the rest? You know, you're paying Grayson Allen all this type of money to shoot the ball, gives you nothing. Gives you nothing.
He just had one of those
Okay.
games. Yeah.
Well, he's had one in the last several games. Yeah. Since he's gotten paid, he's been like, all of a sudden, a different type of a different type of player. Now you say, okay, well, what's the answer for Karl Anthony Towns? Is there one? Do you have one? Doesn't seem like that they have one. Rudy Gobert, you know, cleaning up the boards, blocking shots, doing things, harassing people. Now you get to Bradley Beal and Booker, and you would obviously think at the beginning of the year, like most of us, that when you added Bradley Beal to the equation, that they was going to be one of the top teams in the Western Conference. Mm. Now, do I think that they still trying to figure things out? Yeah, I do. I still think they're trying to figure it out.
Okay, it's a little late for that.
It is a little late. As they say, it's late early. Mm-hmm. They don't have a true point guard.
Nope.
Right? No. I mean, like, who's really there? If Booker is a guy that you expect to set the offense up and the high usage guy who wants to shoot the ball and do things, and then you got KD, him and Booker, basically the same guy.
Yep.
Now you say, well, is Bradley Beal? Well, now you got three, essentially, of the same guys.
Yeah.
You essentially got three guys that are all the same, that they want to shoot the ball. They high usage guys. They got to have a ball in their hand to be able to deliver for the team.
Yep. Yeah.
I think that they got to figure out that particular position on who's going to set the offense up for them.
Mm. Well, Skip, Keyshawn, I saw a number of things in this. First thing that stood out was the edge, the swagger that Anthony Edwards brings.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, from a young kid, I saw him talking junk to KD.
He did.
Like seriously, in a playoff game? In a playoff game, this young pup, well, he a young dog to me, talking to KD, he said, and then after he's like, yeah, that's my idol. But you're
talking
to
him. Yeah, but he's telling
him,
I got now.
Like he's like, now it's no longer idol. This idol stuff ain't going on no more.
Mm-mm.
I'm not wide-eyed no more of you. We're rivals now. When idols turn to rivals. And just when I saw the matchup, the Minnesota Timberwolves looked like the Minnesota Monstars.
Yeah, they did.
Yep. To the Phoenix Suns. They just was looking overly bigger than them, stronger than them. And it was just like, they go 6'9 with Jaden McDaniels, 7'7" with Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert, and then you get to Anthony Edwards, who's listed at 6'5", but he plays like he's about 6'10".
He does.
I mean, the way he flies up and dunks and flexes on him, they look like the Minnesota Monstars.
And by the way, like, then Nas Reed comes in, he's 7 feet tall,
and then Nas Reed comes in.
Threes.
And same with Alexander Walker.
Yep.
And I'm like, I'm not sure. This is a bad matchup when you look down the line for Phoenix Suns, because McDaniels, he's covering Booker, he's covering Durant, he's covering all, he's 6'9", his wingspan is bothering Booker, clearly. And then on the other end, he can knock down shots. I mean, he's not going to give you much on the offensive end, but clearly he's bothering Booker.
Yeah.
And they got a number of defenders they can throw at Booker, so they're saying, look, all right, maybe we can let Durant get his. He's probably almost impossible to stop. But if we can slow down these other guys, it gives us a chance. And that's what they was able to do. I wish that Minnesota did a better job at taking advantage of Karl Anthony Towns on the post. Mm. Because I think he has a clear advantage on KD on the inside. Because a couple of times they doubled him once. He found Gobert streaking down the lane where he dunked the ball. And then another time he scored on KD. So I think they should take more advantage of that. But this is a terrible matchup because Minnesota has a bench that guys you can rely on. Nas Reed is great off your bench. Alexander Walker, great off your bench. Mm. And then you got slow-mo Cal Anderson, who's steady, who brings solid defense.
He got hurt the other day, and I'm not sure what his status is.
Yeah, I don't know what his status is. But Phoenix has no bench, and I had Phoenix before this series. But the more and more I look at the matchups, the more and more I look at the Monstars versus the Suns, I'm not sure that they can beat Minnesota, especially with Anthony Edwards playing like this.
Okay, to Keyshawn's first point, Grayson Allen led the NBA in three-point shooting, led it, and got his money. And the other day, he misses his first three, and they say, come on over here and sit down. And he sat for the rest of the game at 0 for 3. So he gave you 4 points on four free throws. He's capable of making 9 or 10 threes. We've seen him do it several times.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's been cold for a couple weeks, though.
That is
since
true.
Since he signed?
No, since he signed. It happened to Austin Reeves. You get your big deal, and all of a sudden, people are like,
Where'd you go?
We got to see you. Yeah. All right. I've never been a big Nurkic fan, but they've been bragging about him. You know, we got a big guy who can bring it in the middle, and I'm looking at Nurkic. Yeah, he just looked like tiny.
Versus the Monstars.
Yeah, against the Monstars. He had 4 rebounds in 27 minutes. Four rebounds? And I'm not a Gobert guy. We question his toughness, but I got to tell you, every time I look at the box score, I say, well, I can't argue with that and that, because the productivity is extreme. It's why he'll probably win Defensive Player of the Year again. Mm-hmm. But when you come up with 16 rebounds and 6 offensive rebounds, it's just hard to deal with it. He just so long and skilled and smart, because he's been doing this for a long time, he is hard to deal with.
We got to get him in foul trouble.
Yeah, but they didn't the other day because he had 4, but you can. But, man, it did look like a mismatch.
Yeah.
But I'm still all about Phoenix, except for, I said from day one, who's your point guard? I didn't like it at the end of last year when Chris was out. So I'm not saying that Chris Paul is that guy still, but they do miss a Chris Paul because they don't have him. And I watch Mike Conley Jr. He's been playing for like 24 years because he used to play against my Spurs, but he makes the other team go. He is really a shrewd operator. He gets the ball where it's supposed to go, and he always leads them in assists. He had 7 the other day, but you know, Book tries to play point forward or whatever he is, and there's a lot of responsibility on him. And then, to your point, Jaden McDaniels just bothered him. He's 6'9". He's just so long. He's all over him.
Bothered him a lot.
Yeah, so he winds up with 5 assists, and Beal has 6 assists, and KD has 1 assist, and they don't have a head to the snake. They got a snake, but it's like headless because you got to have somebody to get the ball where it's supposed to go when it's supposed to get there. And they just looked completely overmatched and out of sync. And it may be just a bad matchup. I'm with you. I picked Phoenix before, and I'll stick with them. But, Keyshawn, you make the point. I'm not sure they can win game 2. And then they're going to have to go home and say, okay, let's slowly start turning this around. And maybe you have to go win game 7 on their court. That's what it's going to boil down to.
Yeah,
right?
I don't like Booker in that role either. He has to consolidate. Like, when do I be a passer?
Versus a scorer.
Yeah. Because to me, I look at him as the ultimate scorer. I saw a guy that got 40 points pretty much every night in the finals.
He did.
And then I saw a guy that went to Boston versus some years ago against one of the great defenders that Boston had, Avery Bradley, and scored 70.
He scored 70.
And I'm like, I don't like him at the point guard because I need this guy just thinking score, put the ball down, get to the basket. You know, there was a few years ago, there was like, this guy could be the next Kobe the way he scored the ball.
Yep.
You know, and I'm not giving those comparisons, but it was put out there.
Yeah, it was.
It was put out there.
It was.
And so when he got to consolidate and pass and doing all these other things, I think it really takes from his game.
Yep.
And so maybe that player can be Beal. If he can just be the guy who brings it up and say, look, I'll take a sacrifice, but it's just so late in the season for them to just turn and morph into different type of players when they're up against the Monstars.
Yeah.
It's just going to be tough to do because this kid, Anthony Edwards, the way he moves, the way he shoots, the way he took over that third quarter.
He
looked like the best player in the league. For one quarter, he looked like he was the best player in the league.
Don't go Jordan and we'll be okay.
No. I'm not going to go as far as say Jordan.
Go Keyshawn. We saw a young Keyshawn. I'll buy
He's
that.
He's aggressive like that.
Yeah. I'll buy that.
All right, young Keyshawn. But he just looked like the best player in the league. And just talking to them, I just couldn't believe the way he was talking to Booker.
That's how you're supposed to be.
Talking to KD.
That's how you're supposed to be, though.
I get it, but you just don't see young players do that.
But
we in a league where guys don't talk no more. Social media will say something after the game.
Man, that's them. That's not him.
Now, I mean, this kid, I'm sold.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go get some of his shoes.
Just because
I'm gonna put an order in for some Edwards.
Just because
they win this series.
Just because of before I got in the league, I idolized you when you was at OKC. I idolized you when you was at Golden State or whatnot.
Yeah,
no more.
Not no more.
No,
not no more.
Please, man. I'll give you stories.
That was
all day
just kind of shocking to me. That was just kind of because I don't see this in the game no more. Skip, this is a
but you don't have no. You only got probably
three or four guys.
Three,
like
maybe
that.
Four,
and probably three Wolf. Or four of them is out going to be out the league pretty soon.
No, but I'm talking about young dudes. You only got about three young dudes. That's Wolves. The rest of these dudes, you see them, Paul. They just kind of like happy to be here.
We might be seeing a changing of the guard right in front of us. I mean, Anthony Edwards versus Idol, and then if they put them out.
Well,
that's going to speak volumes.
You
it's
brought up
volumes.
A couple of weeks ago about Kevin Durant. As all-time great as he has been lately in the playoffs, he has not been. So
I mean, his individual stats, yeah, they don't speak for themselves.
They look 11 out of 17.
And he had 31 points, period.
I got it. But at some point, he's going to have to take it up one more level and be super-duper star. That's who they are.
I get it, Skip. Yeah. He's on your board. I got it.
But you got to go, man. You got to go. This is it.